gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke. And this is where Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, as was mentioned before in the children's time, and how Jesus is walking through cities. And along the way, some folks were wanting to be followers of Jesus, and they're considered would-be followers. But in the interchange between Jesus and those individuals, they were wanting to do other things rather than leave right away and follow Jesus. They're being held back by some things of the world and not free to follow Christ. So let us listen to God's holy word. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Holy wisdom, holy word. The late theologian and preacher William Sloan Coffin wrote about freedom in an article entitled, "The Good News About the Broken-Hearted Christian Blues." And he wrote, and I quote, "Freedom is not free. If only Christians were as quick to set upon their responsibilities as they are quick to assert freedom, the freedom and the tortures and agonies through which this generation is only the latest to go represent the inevitable judgment upon people and nations that refuse to live by the law of love. I think Christians should stop blaming God for being absent when they themselves are not present. They should stop blaming God for all the ills of the world as if humanity had really been endlessly laboring to cure them." Unquote. We see here that we are to act responsibly with this freedom that we have been given. One has to work at freedom while striving to make freedom a way of life. Regardless how we look at it or define it, freedom is a way of life and preserving our rights as a human being. And yes, it comes with a cost. Well, freedom is defined as the ability to act freely, release from captivity, a country's right to self-rule, the right to act or speak freely, the absence of something unpleasant, or the ease of movement. Well, the founding of our country involved fighting for freedom from the monarchical rule of England. The fight for self-rule came at a cost of many lives. The American Revolution brought about newfound freedoms to live, work, and prosper. The establishment of freedom in the new colonies granted this country the ability to redefine itself and to promote self-rule. The Declaration of Independence of July 4, 1776 advances freedom and the pursuit of happiness. Since that eventful day, people have held on to these words that give them a glimmer of hope as they and we seek freedom in our lives. Michael Blakely of Milwaukee, Wisconsin reflects on an event in which the freedom we have was defined in a clear manner to him. And he writes, and I quote, "While I was attending graduate school in the early 1980s, I stopped for coffee in Malibu, California's restaurant. Coming from a non-political family, I knew nothing of political activists, but I met one that day at the restaurant. He told everything what was wrong with the United States and what a mess the United States was in at that time. He ridiculed our government and our educational, industrial, and banking systems. He was on such a roll that he had everyone on his side except for two people, the old man and me. The activist shied away from me, seeing my Pepperdine hat, Ronald Reagan t-shirt, and Wall Street Journal. So he went after the old man. As he approached, the old man continued slurping his soup and turned his back on the activist. Well, the activist sat down at the old man's table and offered this. Mister, if you can tell me just one thing the United States has done for you, just one measly thing, I will leave you alone. Finally, the old man looked up. He licked his spoon clean and set it down on the table. His red face indicated years of laboring in the sun. And with a heavy Russian accent, he replied, "Behold these truths to be self-evident, that all man created equal, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness." Then he went back to the soup. Well, the activist defeated could no longer argue against what the old man had experienced on both sides of communism. With a few words, the old man was able to relate this understanding of freedom we have in this country. He quoted from the Declaration of Independence, which reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, all people are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Freedom. Freedom. Freedom is a privilege, and it's also a responsibility. We can speak freely. However, when the freedom to speak is silenced, suppressed, or bullied, then we have another issue to address. So the more the freedom of speech is censored, the more freedom is controlled and bound. And where will freedom be if we can no longer speak what we think? Freedom comes with a cost, though, when it concerns a human being. One of the main reasons for the Civil War was to abolish slavery. Many people died in that war between the states. And as I drive between here and Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, to my home, I travel through the battlefields of Gettysburg, where I am reminded of the terrible cost of human life. Between 47,000 and 52,000 people were killed. Even in our modern times, as we look at the wars that have been fought, we can see how people have given up their lives for freedom. And we might know some of those people. Some of those individuals who fought for freedom might be sitting right next to you or in front of you. Freedom comes with a cost. Freedom is our responsibility. Well, friends, you and I have a special freedom that comes through Jesus Christ the Lord, as he gave his life for each one of us, and he died for us. In Christ, we find the one who sacrificed his life so we can be free from sin, we can be free to love, we can experience the free gift of grace. Well, the Apostle Paul experienced a freeing event in his life on the road to Damascus. He was freed from the need to condemn, to imprison, and to torture those who were followers of Jesus. When the blinding scales fell from his eyes, he could see clearly that Christ saved him from further hostilities. He was free to worship and to learn from Christ. He was free to love. He was also learning about the freedom to spread the good news throughout the Mediterranean region. He was free to share Jesus Christ. The cost to Paul was his hurting and condemning. Yet the cost gave him a new way of thinking, believing, and living in Jesus Christ. Well, the epistle lesson from Galatians 5 that was read today gives us insight into Paul's understanding of freedom. As he wrote to the Christians at Galatia, he reminded all Christians of their and our responsibilities that comes with freedom, freedom in Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote, the freedom Christ has set for us is free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. He took upon himself all of our sins so that we can live. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is free. Well, slavery to sin was abolished through the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ. This freedom in him only gives the Christian, you and me, a way to freely give of oneself to the way of love. Then we can also say, I will follow you, dear Jesus. I choose to go with you, and I choose to go freely. Paul made it known to the people that the desires of the flesh were keeping the human soul in bondage and in slavery. And the Holy Spirit provides clear insight into the ways of the world and the flesh. Well, we read about how a person is a slave to sin and all of those dynamics of human lust and jealousy and anger and all of those things that will keep a person bound in the sinfulness of the world and of the flesh. He's also providing the warning. That is for all those who refuse to see what Christ has to offer. And this warning is for us too today. Well, then Paul writes about the fruits of the Spirit to bring about freedom to live in love and all of these aspects of gentleness, faithfulness, patience, kindness, generosity. All of those dynamics allow the Spirit to move and to allow a person to be free to give of themselves. And as it says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passion and the desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The Spirit will lead us. The Spirit will give us that freedom. But you know, my friends, the freedom in Christ gives us the responsibility and presence to love God, to love others, and to love ourselves. And we're free to do that. At the cost to us is giving up the ways and things of the world and of the flesh that cause us to stumble and to hurt others. My dear brothers and sisters, may we find the freedom to love Christ as he first loved us. His love for us is so great that he freely gave up his life so that we can be free from sin. So that we can be free to love. Thus, we are truly free to love and to serve the Lord. We are free to experience grace every day and in every moment. God loves us freely. God loves us unconditionally. So may we also be that example in the world to be free to love. Well, I close with a prayer. that was written by a former chaplain before the U.S. Senate. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Hear us as we pray for the truth that shall make all free. Teach us that liberty is not only to be loved, but also to be lived. Liberty is too precious a thing to be buried in books. It costs too much to be hoarded. Help us see that our liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to please to do what is right. And in Jesus' name we pray. And let us all say amen.